and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News, and I'm joined, as always, by Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, and welcome, Ed.
Jennifer, do you think
that... Whoa, I don't even get a high? Well, we're just into the question.
I was listening to your beautiful, wonderful intro, which, by the way, is not even written down. You just have that as part of your hardwiring. But do you think that our listening audience, which I think is vast, I think there are probably tens of thousands of people that listen to us on a weekly basis, do you think they understand the pun that KUT came up with when they came up with the name of this show?
I think by now, yeah.
Higher Ed?
Yes, I think so.
Do you feel at all bad that we're not calling the show Higher Jennifer?
No, because that's not funny or clever.
Well, I'm not funny or clever, and yet we named it after me. All right, I'm sorry. Hello, Jennifer. It's great to be with you, as always.
I never thought about that, but no, I'm fine with it.
We could do an episode say, welcome to Hire Jennifer.
Well, you know, we did the role reversal where you interviewed me, so we did
that
time.
We talked about your summer vacation.
We did. We'll have to do that one again. We'll bring a version of that back. Yes. So I have a question for you.
Oh, good.
Higher Ed. I am wondering, so, you know, my stepdaughter's taking math and she's starting to toss out words and concepts that I have vague memories of from my time in school. And infinity is starting to come up. And I grapple with how to actually describe or talk about the concept of infinity. How do you even talk about something that doesn't have a size or a limit?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, in the context of what you're saying, you know, with your daughter, it's interesting that when kids first hear this thing infinity, what it means is really big. And so, you know, there's always this fun game, you know, what's the biggest number you know? And can you, so 10, and someone says, well, 15, and so, and then some kid says infinity, and then everyone has to shut up. You know, it's a game stopper.
Right.
But the truth is, infinity is not a number as we understand number in a conventional sense.
So what is it?
It is an abstract construct. It really is something that happens after all the numbers. So it's a little tricky. So if you think of like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, numbers have the feature that they are always preceded by something smaller, and then they are followed by something larger.
Okay? But infinity can't be followed by something.
You can think of infinity. The smallest infinity is the kind of aggregate of all those counting numbers together. So an endless list of numbers, is infinity. But any one number itself, of course, is a finite number of steps away from one.
Now, we have brought up infinity a couple of times. I just think it is a fascinating concept. And it actually, last week's puzzler was sort of about...
It was about... Yeah, I snuck in infinity because...
Yeah,
yes.
Trying to grasp this concept of infinity.
And that's the interesting thing. It's not the infinity itself, because as we talked about last week, you know, this is an abstract thing. And so you're not going to see infinity, you know, at the local grocery store. But... it's an interesting exercise for the brain, and it was a powerful exercise for mathematicians throughout history to make meaning of something that's beyond all numbers. And in fact, when the first person that really kind of axiomatized and started to prove real theorems about this, Georg Cantor, in the late 1800s, the math community, it was so counter to what mathematicians thought, and these are people that prove theorems for a living, so if it's fact, it's fact. But it was so counterintuitive that they themselves wouldn't believe these facts until after he was dead.
How do you prove the existence of infinity?
Well, I mean, again...
Or
How do you analyze infinity? And I'll tell you what you do. Instead of trying to count to it, since it's an endless thing, instead, it's all about moving from counting to comparing. And let me give you an example, okay? Okay, so if you look at my right hand, I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 digits on this hand. If you look at my left hand, I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 digits on that hand. Now, so that's the counting way of seeing that I have the same number of digits on each hand, right? 5 equals 5. If you use a mindset of comparing, watch what I'm going to do. And again, this is theater of the mind. So
if I took my hands
and if I put them together so the fingertips, the corresponding fingertips just touched at the tip, then you notice what I have is a correspondence, if you will, mm-hmm. a one-to-one pairing of digits from my right hand associated with exactly one digit from my left hand. And you see how there's no fingers left over on either
right.
hand? So what that tells us, without counting, is that whatever number of digits I have on one hand, it actually is the same size as the number of digits on the other hand, even though I don't know what five is. So here's a way, if you only can count to three, here's a way of knowing that they're the same number of digits. It's a one-to-one comparison. And that is the secret that unlocks infinity. Can you take two vast quantities, maybe infinite quantities, if you can pair them up like your fingertips, then it's the same size of infinity. Otherwise, they're different.
Wait a minute. Two infinite quantities, there can be two?
Oh, sure.
Infinities. What?
Whoa. I mean, just imagine imagine I write all the counting numbers in red and all the counting numbers in blue.
Oh.
Well, then I have two collections of infinity, right?
Oh,
but it's easy to match them up.
Yes.
You know, red one and blue one, red two and blue two, red three and blue, they line up perfectly like our fingertips. So plainly they're the same sizes of infinity.
I think I just always thought of infinity as something that overtook
everything
sort of
eclipses everything.
Yeah, it just sort of rolled.
Like a tsunami.
Yeah, overtook
it's
everything.
It's an abstract mathematical concept that is beyond all numbers.
And beyond understanding.
No. And I hate to argue with you.
No, go ahead.
But if you put your mind to these things, you can. Now, it took mathematicians about 50 years to embrace the facts that they were given. So even for mathematicians, this is a hard one.
So five minutes is okay.
No. Yeah, you can struggle. Our listeners can struggle. But the question is, don't give up.
Yeah.
You know, don't say, I can't do it. You have to realize that even mathematicians struggled with this concept. It's that out there.
Well, let's struggle through the answer to the puzzler then, because it's all about infinity. And I really want to get this one. I had an idea, but I may have been started going down a wrong path.
Okay, so let me remind very quickly the question. It was a complicated question, actually.
Yeah.
You have this endless list of endless collection of ping pong balls lined up like in a trough. In fact, now we can say there are infinitely many ping pong balls. And each one has a number on it, tattooed in order. So the first one's labeled 1, the second ping pong ball has a 2, then a 3, then a 4, all the way out, and it's endless. There is no last ping pong ball.
Okay, got it.
Okay. And again, that's not practical. They're not infinitely many ping pong balls. They would fill up the universe and beyond. Okay. But you can imagine this in your mind's eye. I give you a big barrel. It's very large. Don't worry about the size. And then I give you I give you 60 seconds. Boy, I'm not good with numbers today. 60 seconds on the clock. So imagine a face clock with a red second hand. We'll revolve once clockwise around until it returns back to its starting position. And we start an experiment. In the first half, so the first 30 seconds, you drop in the first 10 ping pong balls labeled from 1 to 10. Bloop, they fall into the barrel. You quickly reach into the barrel. You pull out ping pong ball number 1 and discard it. That leaves you with ping pong balls number 2 through 10 in the barrel. Now, you have 30 seconds left. In half of that time, 15 seconds, we drop in the next 10 ping pong balls, numbered 11 through 20, and you reach down and you fish out ping pong ball number 2, throw that one away, leaving you with 3 through 20 in the barrel. And now in the half time that's remaining, 7.5 seconds, you drop in the next 10, you pull out 3, and you repeat this for every half time.
Yes.
When the red hand comes back, you're exhausted because you've done a lot of things.
Yes.
The question is, when you regain consciousness, you stand up, you walk to the barrel, and you look inside. And the question is, how many ping pong balls do you see inside the barrel? And so share with us your guess.
My guess is, we know the barrel, we know this is theater of the mind and we're imagining. I think it's infinity.
You think there are infinite ping pong balls left?
Yes. And here, can I tell you my idea?
I was just going to ask you what your idea is.
So my thought is that if you keep splitting time, time never disappears. So you're going to have such a minute amount of seconds, but you can't, you're never going to get to the minute.
This is exactly how every person, again, this is from a textbook that Mike Starbird and I wrote called The Heart of Mathematics and Invitation.
Which I have not read, so
yeah,
I do not know this.
No, but that is the response. There's only one response to this, and that is it.
Whoa!
Well, it's not right.
Oh!
But that's people's response.
Yeah.
Again, you have to use theater of the mind to realize that The second hand will come back.
Yeah.
But how many half times are there? So how many half times are there? And you've kind of hinted at this.
Well, if you're going to slice time that thin, you could have an infinite number
Correct.
Of half times.
So there'll be infinitely many. I won't say a number, but there are infinitely many half times.
Yes.
And that's hard for people to say, well, you know, I can't do that in a minute. And so that's the hard part. You asked me last time, is there a secret to the minute? And just that I wanted to compress it all. You can do something every 30 seconds, but then you'll never stop doing it.
Right.
You'll do it forever.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to compress it. That sticks people up a little bit. But if you just realize there are infinitely many half times, you will do infinitely many tasks in 60 seconds, which, again, you can't do in real life.
Right.
But you can't have infinitely many ping pong balls in real life.
Right.
So get over it. Get over it. But theater of the mind, what's left in the barrel? Well, the intuitive natural guess is infinitely many because of the pattern. First, after I took out the first one, there were 9. Then there were 18. Then there were 27. Then there were 36. And you see a pattern. There always seems to be 9 more.
Right.
And so you do that forever, infinitely many. So that is the great intuitive guess. But with infinity, our intuition can lead us astray.
Oh.
All that matters with infinity is the one-to-one pairing.
That comparison that you were talking about
exactly.
before.
So let's think about, suppose that you think that there are infinitely many ping pong balls left. So let's now suppose that.
Okay.
That means that you can take your hand, take your right hand, lift your right hand up, and I want you to reach in the barrel.
Yes.
That means you could feel a ping pong ball.
Right.
Do you
there
feel
are lots
one?
Lots of ping pong balls.
But you feel one.
Oh, sure.
Okay, grab it.
Okay.
Okay, now pull it out.
Yes.
Now it has a number on it,
yes.
does it not?
Uh-huh.
Okay, read me the number on that ball.
9,473,000. I mean...
Okay, wait, no. 9,473,000. Could that be the number? Well, we know the answer is no, because I can tell you when we took out the 9,073,000th ball, it was at the 9,073,000th half second, because the first ball came out in the first half second. The second ball came out in the second half second. The third ball came out in the third half second. And that, your ball, so that number's wrong. So we know you're wrong.
Yeah.
So there must have, so you misread it. So what number is on the ball? What's on the ball?
One.
No, because when did the ball?
One.
Yeah.
So your question is what again?
What you pulled out a ball?
Yes.
You claim there are a lot of balls in there.
Yes.
You pulled out one.
Yes.
I want you to read me the number. It can't be 9,773,000,000. Could it be 14? Could you pull out the ping pong ball 14? Or do you know when you removed ping pong ball 14?
I could do the math and figure out when I removed.
Well, it
ping
was.
Pong ball
it's easy.
14.
It was at the 14th halftime.
Yeah.
14th halftime.
Yes.
So what about the ping pong ball 1,000,000,007? Could that be the one you picked out when it was all done?
No.
When did that come out?
At the 1,000,007,000th
halftime. So can there be a ball with a number on it?
No.
Right. Because once you give me the number, I can tell you the halftime that it was removed. I've paired up the halftimes, first halftime,
yes.
second halftime, third halftime, with the balls 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a 1-to-1 correspondence that goes on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, what's in the barrel?
Oh, nothing.
That's the correct answer.
Oh, God. I'm exhausted. This is exhausting.
Don't
oh,
you love
God.
It?
But I love it. It's fun. Oh, man, that is really interesting.
Now I'm going to blow your mind,
oh,
if I may.
Oh, it's already blown.
Well, get it back real
okay.
fast. Reconstruct your mind,
okay.
because I want to blow it one more time.
Okay.
Which is, there's something where you think there are infinitely many things left, and in fact, when you think through it very carefully, you can see when every ball was removed,
uh-huh.
even though, again, this was an endless process.
Right.
And so there's one infinity of all the halftimes, first halftime, second halftime, third halftime. And then an infinity of all the balls, the first ball, the second ball,
mm-hmm.
the third ball. And we show that they pair up perfectly.
Yep.
So it's the same kind of infinity. The kind of infinity of half times is
yes.
the same infinity as the infinity of ping pong balls. Okay? They're the same type
okay.
because we paired them up.
Okay.
Like our fingertips.
Yeah, got it.
There are infinities that are larger than that infinity.
What?
There
Wait.
Are different sizes of infinity.
Okay, this is so not fair, because we just have a few minutes left, and now you're introducing...
Well, I'm doing this deliberately, because this is not a 15-minute radio discussion.
There are different sizes of infinity?
And all you have to do is construct a bunch of things, infinitely many things, and show that there's no way of pairing them up. You know the process. If I can just show you there's no way of pairing up... So that whenever you try to pair one collection, like the numbers, one,
uh-huh.
two, three, four, forever, with my weird set, then in fact, if there's stuff left over, then in fact, there must be more of them. And that's how you'd say, that's how you compare infinity. You can't count to it, but you compare. And when you compare, you will find some instances where some infinities are actually greater than others. And then you might ask, Jennifer, is there a last infinity? What is your guess?
Is there a last infinity? So that would be...
I've already told you there's two sizes of infinity. Right. Could there be three and four? Is there a last one? What's your guess?
I'm thinking in theory, yes, because you could have your dueling infinities where there's... Dueling banjos where there's a certain amount more in one than the mm-hmm. other, but couldn't you have another infinity then with a different certain amount, a larger certain
right.
amount
more?
So that's
more. A third one.
So could you have an infinite number of infinity?
Which, by the way, is exactly the opposite of what you just first said, right? So your argument took you a different way. I love that. You said, I think there's a finite number of them, and then you gave an argument for why there's infinite many, and your argument's
so now,
correct.
Yeah, now I'm thinking,
yes.
as I think
there
and talk about it.
There is an endless number of infinities. So just like the numbers that can get bigger, infinity, which is beyond the numbers, they're different sizes, and there is no greatest mother of all infinities. They do not exist. So, in fact, whenever you have an infinity, so you give me an infinity, I could actually build you intellectually and verbally an infinity that's even larger. And then I can use that larger one to use that to build an even larger one. And I can keep using that like a staircase to build infinitely many different sizes of infinity. Mind blown.
Definitely mind
that's
blown.
The power, but that's the power of mathematics, and that's the power of thinking mathematically or thinking within the construct of any discipline. Which is that when you begin to think deeply, now I didn't explain that at all. I'm just telling you that. So there's no thinking involved, unfortunately, today. But by thinking deeply, you can come to these seemingly counterintuitive but real truisms.
Well, Ed, thank you for helping us keep our brains sharp.
Your voice is all beat up.
And exhausting our brains.
Sorry.
No, we
love
it. That's why we're here.
Hope you had fun.
Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu or just stop by his office if you're
absolutely.
On campus, a little bit north of Austin. Also, keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.